السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Brothers and sisters in Islam, today our talk inshallah is going to be about the what we call in Arabic مكفرات الذنوب. In other words, the expiators of sins. What are the things that will expiate and wash away our sins? And no doubt that human beings by nature, they are sinners. And simply because they feel weak and they have certain weak points which the shaitan uses them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who created us and who knows these points of weakness, He also provided alternatives and options that you can resort to compensate or to expiate the sins which you committed. So a Muslim should not despair or lose hope once he committed a sin. Because if you lose hope, that means you will carry on sinning and you will never turn to Allah. Therefore, the chances there open. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends every night in a manner that suits His Majesty, and He asks, is there anyone who wants to repent? Is there anyone who wants any help? So this is every night. The Supreme Lord Himself descends and He asks in the last third of the night. And we Muslims, beyond any doubt, believe that one day we are going to leave this world. And every human being is going to leave this world. Death is something inevitable. No one can escape death. No one can escape death. No matter how long you live. And we know that the Prophet ﷺ said in one of the authentic narrations, أَعْمَارُ أُمَّتِي مَا بَيْنَ السِّتِّينَ وَالسَّبْعِينَ, that the average of the lifespans of my ummah between the 60 and the 70. And we know now many people, they died before that. So this is the average. So one day you will leave this world, whether you like it or not. So you better do something that when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will be pleased with you. If you were wasting your time, and if you were negligent or neglecting your obligations, then this is the time to wake up and try to compensate for the past years. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ali Imran, that is Surah 3, Ayah 185, stating this fact, that a day will come when you will leave. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّى فَوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور. Which means every soul, every living being, every living being, every soul shall have a taste of death. And brothers and sisters, the taste of death is not easy. When a person is dying, the Prophet ﷺ described it, what we call sakarat al-maut, or the bands of death. The lowest one, just like being cut by the sword. Imagine that someone is chopping you into pieces by the sword. That's the least pain when the soul is leaving the body. The least. Not the most. So if the human being is going to taste that, no one can escape it. Every soul shall have a taste of death, and only on the day of resurrection and judgment shall you be paid your full recompense. And whoever is removed from the hellfire, فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَا, whoever is displaced, moved, the hellfire is here, and he is very close, and then the angels will tell him, now you are not destined for that place. So he will be removed from the hellfire, and he will be وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ, and he will be sent to the garden, to the Jannah, to heaven. فَقَدْ فَازْ, indeed he has passed the test, he has succeeded. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. This worldly life is nothing except that it is entertainment. It's a dream. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in Surah 21, Ayah 47, وَنَضَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ فَلَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا وَإِنْ كَانَ مِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ أَتَيْنَا بِهَا وَكَفَى بِنَا حَاسِبِينَ. This is the justice, the divine justice of Allah. He says, we shall set up scales of justice on the day of judgment. There are scales, and deeds will be weighed. The deeds will be weighed on the scale. And if your deeds, the good deeds, more than your evil deeds, then you will go to the Jannah. If your evil deeds and misdeeds more than your good deeds, you go to hell. If they are equal, then you will be in an area which we call Al-A'raf. Al-A'raf is a buffer zone between hellfire and the Jannah. And then by Allah's grace, those who are in the buffer zone will be admitted to the Jannah. So Allah says, we shall set up scales, balances of justice for the day of judgment, so that no soul will be dealt with unjustly in the least. So no one will say, no, you treated me unjustly. Allah Azza wa Jal will tell everyone to read his record. اقرأ كتابك كفى بنفسك اليوم عليك حسيبا. Read your book today. Read your record by your own self. You are the one who should. You are the one now who should ask himself. You are the auditor. You know auditor? Any company brings an auditor, not from within the company, from outside. And this auditor will scrutinize all the transactions, all the dealings, etc.
So if you are an accountant and the auditor is there, you'll be shivering, right? Afraid that he might find something. So now you will be the auditor. You will be checking your deeds by your own self. And you have to confess. Because you will be asked, is there anything in the record that you didn't do? Anything there in your record that you didn't do? And of course you will not find a single deed that you didn't do. The kuffar said, ما لهذا الكتاب لا يغادر صغيرة ولا كبيرة إلا أحصاها ووجدوا ما عملوا حاضرا ولا يظلم ربك أحدا. That the kuffar, the disbelievers, they would say, this book is amazing. There is no single deed that we did is not jotted down. Deeds that thinks that you forgot them. You forgot them. But when you read your record, you will see all these things. They are there. وَوَجَدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا. And they found what they did, recorded and jotted down. وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. And Allah is not unjust to anyone. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, that also he said subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَفَمَنْ كَانَ مُؤْمِنًا كَمَنْ كَانَ فَاسِقًا لَا يَسْتَوُونَ. Because some people, they think that also Allah will treat everyone the same. No. Allah says in Surah 32, Ayah 18, is then the man who believes no better than the man who is rebellious and wicked? Not equal, are they? They're not equal. One who is obedient, one who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one who is leading an upright conduct, is not like one who is leading a mischievous life. Okay? So the judgment on that day will be with justice. And everyone will receive what he earned. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he doesn't want us to despair and lose hope. He said, as long as you turn to me, O my servants, I will forgive you. Okay? If you turn to me and if you repent sincerely, I will forgive you. So this is the glad news. This is the glad tidings from Allah. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Which means, this is Surah 39, Ayah 53. Say, O my servants, who have transgressed against their own souls, who have wronged themselves. Indeed, when you commit a sin, you wrong whom? You wrong yourself. Because you bring upon yourself Allah's anger and wrath. You are wholly harming yourself. You are not harming anyone. You are not harming Allah. No one can harm Allah. So the harm falls on you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, say, O my servant, الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا. This word أَسْرَفُوا, it indicates extravagance. But we know extravagance when you are wasting things, right? Extravagantly. But here this person, he is so extravagant in committing bad deeds. He crossed the limits. There is no evil deed that you think of that you didn't do. He did everything. So a person of such caliber or category, is there a chance for him? Yes, there is a chance for him. And Allah is addressing this kind of people. Now why? Because those who were sucked into sinfulness, okay, for years, they lose hope. And the shaitan makes them lose hope. Say, you are going to hell, man. There is no chance for you. Why? The shaitan whispers into their ears and tells them that you'll go to hell. Because he doesn't want them to go back and repent. So to carry on. If I am going to hell as well, so let me have fun, let me enjoy my life. Because I know at the end of the day I'm going to hell. So let me enjoy my life. That's what the shaitan is after. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling those, this category of people who the shaitan, whom the shaitan have led them astray and led them away from the right path, he is addressing them. See the kindness of Allah. He is addressing them and is telling them, please, never despair and never lose hope. I am your creator. I am more merciful to you, and I will be more merciful to you than your mothers. My kindness and my mercy overcome my anger, and my mercy precedes my anger. This is Allah. Allah's mercy and kindness precede His anger. No matter what you did, as long as you turn to me, I will accept you. Okay? So never listen to these satanic thoughts that the shaitan tries to put into your mind. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِي. This word ibadi in the Quran is beautiful. Because Allah attributes you to Him. O my slaves, O my servants. This is a privilege. This is honor. Okay? This is an honor. When Allah is addressing you by this title, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِي. This is the title of honor in the Quran. Allah gave it to His prophets. سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَسْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ لَيْلًا مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ الْأَقْصَى. سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَسْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ. Glory be to Him who took His slave and servants on the night journey from Mecca to Palestine. عَبْدِهِ. وَلَمَّا قَامَ عَبْدُنَا. When our servants stood up, the Prophet ﷺ. So this title, Abdullah, is a title of honor. Because to be a servant of Allah, or a slave of Allah, it is an honor. Because you are a slave, whether you want it or not. If you are not slave for Allah, you will be slave for other things. You will be enslaved by the job itself. Okay? You will leave the office maybe after midnight because you want money. So then the job is, you are a slave, you are enslaved. You are enslaved for sex, you are enslaved by slave for the sex, for women, for many things. So it's better to be a slave for Allah. Slave of Allah Azza wa Jal. You serve only Allah Azza wa Jal. You know the footballers. They are slaves, aren't they? They buy them and they sell them, the teams, right? We bought you, we sell you. So what is that? That's slavery. That's slavery. Models, they are slaves. Though they deceive them, and we are going to make you a star, and we'll make you achieve stardom. What is it, stardom? Prostitution. And they call it stardom. That's it. And she cannot do whatever she likes. Even her own diet is controlled. Imagine you can't eat the food that you like because it's fatty. You're going to put on weight. And then this will affect your body. Because your only asset are either your legs or your, you know. Okay? That's your asset. And those models, many of them, they go and to the insurance companies, you know that. And they insure that asset, right? Because she knows once she is kicked out from the business, she will not find any source of income. Right? So, to be a slave of Allah, that is really which the real freedom. Real freedom to be a slave of Allah. Many people are, if you are not slave of Allah, then you will be a slave of others. Other deities. Other gods. The Prophet ﷺ, he said in the hadith, as we know, Ta'isa Abdul Dirham, Ta'isa Abdul Dinar. Woe to him, the worshipper of the dirham, the worshipper of the dinar. Worship of the pound and the dollar. Have you seen people prostrating for the pound? No. So what does it mean? It means his objective, his aim. What is preoccupying his mind is the dollar and the pound. Okay? So when Allah attributes you to him, that is indeed an honor. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's telling you, calling you with this beautiful title. Oh my servant, who wronged himself, come to me. Turn to me, please. I want you to come. And when you turn to me and come to me, I will forgive you. We read that once Musa alayhi salam, he went out to supplicate for rain. To ask Allah for rain. And then Allah told Moses, there is a sinner among you, so the rain, I will not send down the rain. So Moses addressed the children of Israel. Whoever is a sinner, anyone who is a sinner among you should come out. But no one came out. No one said, raised his hand and said, I am the one. No one. Then he supplicated and the rain came down. So he said, oh my Lord. No one confessed. No one admitted that he is the sinner. And you sent down the rain. He said, oh Moses. He repented. Oh Moses. The sinner repented. He turned to Allah and said, oh Allah, please conceal my sins and my sinfulness and forgive me. And he was sincere. So Allah forgave him. So Moses said, oh my Lord, let me know him. He said, oh Moses, I covered and I didn't let anyone, I didn't expose him when he was a sinner. Do you want me now to expose him after he repented? No way. No way. I didn't expose him when he was a sinner. How do you expect me to expose him to the people to know him when he repented? That's why the repentance in Islam, that you repent between you and Allah. You don't go to someone and you confess. Do you confess to anyone? Or you confess to Allah? This is between you and Allah. Okay? To confess to a human being, it's haram in Islam, right? So I hope that you will not have this anymore, right? Don't be influenced by the Western culture, Christian culture actually. People, they go and confess. You know, I have to confess to you. And also husband and wives, they do that. Or a brother is going to propose to a sister, said, I have to confess. Or she has, I have to confess. Before we get married, you know, I was messing around. That is in itself is a sin. You don't confess to anyone. This is between you and Allah. And if you confess to anyone, then the Prophet ﷺ said, he who confesses, or he who discloses his secrets after Allah covered them, he will not smell the fragrance of the Jannah. So you don't confess to anyone. This is between you and Allah. We are not Roman Catholics, right? Aren't we? Are we? Alright. So only the Roman Catholic, he has to go on Saturday or Sunday and say, Father, you know, I have done this and this and this. And you have to disclose everything. You don't hide anything. They call it confession set. And the priest is entitled to forgive you all your sins that you disclose, you revealed. If you hid anything, any sin, it will not be forgiven. So you need to bring all your filth out. All your past record should be said to the priest. So they're telling us they want anything, just recruit the priest, that's it. Because all the information with the priest. And then the priest says at the end of the day, when you confess, get up. Don't sin anymore. Your sins are forgiven. That's simple. Don't sin anymore. Go do whatever you like throughout the week. Come on Sunday. Have an hour. And that's it. Beautiful religion, isn't it? So we are not Roman Catholic. We are Muslims. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing those sinners by telling them, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Say, O my servants who have transgressed against their own souls, despair not of the mercy of Allah, for Allah forgives all sins. For He is often forgiven, most merciful. And our beloved Prophet ﷺ says in the hadith, which is in Sahih Muslim, he said, righteousness and good morality and sin. So the Prophet ﷺ, he defined the sin. What is the dhanb? What's the name of sin in Arabic? Dhanb. So what is the dhanb or ithm? Dhanb or ithm? He said, righteousness is good morality. At-taqwa husn al-khuluq. And sin is that. You want to know whether this deed is a sin or not. And it says, sin is that which causes the discomfort within your soul and which you dislike people to become involved of it. If you want to know this thing is haram or not, do you like the people to know about it or not? So the sin is that thing which wavers inside your heart back and forth. And you hate the people to know about it. You don't want anyone to know about it. And you don't want anyone to see you while doing it. So then it is a sin. Then it is a sin. That's why in one hadith the Prophet ﷺ say, you consult your heart. Because you know it. You will know that this is something wrong. And despite the fact that you know it is wrong, that you do it. Because the iman is weak. Many Muslims, they know things, these are haram. They know that mortgage is haram, they know. But they do that, right? They know it. As one of the mashayikh said, even the cat knows the halal and haram, you know? Little cat. He said, how? He said, if you are chopping meat, just take one piece of meat, give it to the cat. The cat will eat it in front of your eyes next to you. But if the cat snatches it, okay, and you didn't give it, it will not wait, it will run away with that piece of meat, right? Even the cat knows the right and the wrong. So every human being, Muslim, they know the halal and haram, they know this is haram, and only they need their iman to be revived. So the sin is that which wavers and moves back and forth within yourself, and you hate anyone to know about it. That's why you do it secretly. Okay, you don't want anyone to know about it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He warns us, and He says, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ دَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ دَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. So, though Allah is merciful, but we should not treat sins lightly. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, though He is kind and merciful, but also He is شديد العقاب. He is severe in punishment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this is justice indeed. He said, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ دَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ دَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. And who does an atom's weight? Actually, it's not an atom's weight. An ant's weight. You know the ant, little ant? Okay. Of good. Even if that amount of good you did, it is equivalent to the weight of an ant. You'll see it. You'll find it. Okay. So, maybe you're walking, moving, and then you saw a broken glass. So you took it and put it in the trash or dustbin, whatever. That thing that you did it, maybe you did it just like that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He likes that. And that's a good deed. One man, Allah had sent him to the Jannah because of he was walking, passing by, and then he saw that there is a branch of a tree blocking the way, so he cut that branch and he threw it away. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved that deed and He forgave him his sins. Okay? So you can do good deeds very, they don't cost you anything. They don't cost you at all anything. A prostitute, harlot, from among the Jews, professional one, she came out of her home and she went into the well, water well, and she drank and they came out. When she came out, she saw a dog licking the earth out of thirst. The dog was very thirsty and she didn't have anything to fill it with water, so she went down again and she filled her shoe. She filled her shoe with water. She filled the shoe with water and came out and gave that water to the dog. And Allah forgave her sins. So certain little things that you think these things are nothing, but in Allah's sight they are something. So never belittle any deed that you do. Do whatever you can. The Prophet ﷺ said, تَبَسُّمَكْ فِي وَجْهِ أَخِيكَ صَدَقَةً. That when you meet your brother, you smile. Not that you frown. Do you smile or frown? It's okay. Train yourself to smile whenever you meet your brothers, not your sisters. Okay. Okay, that is not charity, that is sin, okay? If a sister will meet a brother and say, smile to each other, no. That is, you know, Cupid arrow, you know Cupid arrow. Okay, I'm sure you know it. The cubit arrow that will tear your heart. Okay? But when you meet your brother, you smile. A sister meets her sister, smile. One of the mashayikh said it will only cost you 1 centimeter up, 1 centimeter down to depart your lips. Raise your lips 1 centimeter up and down and you'll get hasana. Right? But it's not going to cost you anything. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى. And he who does an atom's weight, an ant's weight of good will see it. And also on the contrary, on the other side, on the other hand, وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا شَرًّا يَرَى. And who does an atom's or ant's weight of evil will see it. So this is justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala multiplies the good deeds. The misdeed will remain one, and the good deed will be multiplied into 7, and 7 into 10, and then to 700. So Allah multiplies the good deeds, and the sins remain as they are. Allah says, أَفَمَنْ كَانَ مُؤْمِنًا كَمَنْ كَانَ فَاسِقًا لَا يَسْتَوُونَ. أَمَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ فَلَهُمْ جَنَّاتُ الْمَأْوَى نُزُلًا بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فَسَقُوا فَمَأْوَاهُمُ النَّارُ كُلَّمَا أَرَادُوا أَنْ يَخْرُجُوا مِنْهَا أُعِيدُوا فِيهَا وَقِيلَ لَهُمْ ذُوقُوا عَذَابَ النَّارِ الَّذِي كُنْتُمْ بِهِ تُكَذِّبُونَ. Which means, is he who is a believer like one who is a sinner? No, they are not. They are not alike. And this ayah refutes the murji'ah, alright? Deviant sect, who, when we talk about the iman, who they say, the murji'ah, which is the deviant sect, they say iman is only there in the heart. No need for actions at all. Acts are not part of the iman. Right? So they say, the iman of the sinner and the iman of Abu Bakr and Jibreel is the same. Okay? So Allah says the opposite. They are not alive. For those who believe and do righteous works, for them are gardens of retreat, where they will have eternal life, a welcome reward for what works they did. And as for those who do evil, their resting place and abode is the fire. Whenever they wish to leave, they will be forced back into it. They try to leave the Jahannam, they will be forced back into Jahannam. And it will be said to them, taste the torment and the punishment of the fire which you used to reject, which you were not, it was not there in your mind. That's why, brothers and sisters, always, as we mentioned in some of the talks before, the believer flies to Allah like a bird with two wings. With two wings. What are the two wings? Hope and fear. Hope and fear. And you have to balance the two wings. You raise this wing of hope till it is reaching the sky. Then you lower it. Because if you just rely on the hope, then you start committing sins. Then you lower it. And then you raise the wing of fear, so that you will not do sins. And that's how you balance your flight towards the hereafter. Alright? Okay, that's how you balance it. And when you are in your bed, breathing your last, and you are dying, now which one should dominate my being? The fear or hope?
Hope.
When I'm dying, hope only. Forget about your sins when you are dying. Don't remember them when you are dying. Only think of Allah's mercy. Only think about Allah's
mercy. That's why those who are present surrounding you when you are dying, they should just remind you about the good deeds that you did, not your past, the good deeds that you did, and they should only remind you about Allah's mercy. So that when you die, you meet Allah while you are thinking good of Allah. As in Sahih Muslim. Am I clear? So one should avoid the sins and do righteous acts. So, now, what is the difference between al-khata wa dhanb, a mistake and an error? Normally, the error is something unintentional. You didn't mean to do something like that. So that's error. And we know in the Surah Al-Baqarah, رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَاخِذْنَا إِن نَسِينَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا. Oh Allah, don't hold us accountable or question us on that day for the things that we committed by mistake or we forgot. And Allah said, I accept. In Sahih Muslim, Allah said, قَدْ فَعَلْتُ, I accept. That I will not punish you for the things that you committed by mistake. Even if you kill someone by mistake. Even if you, let's say that you ran over someone. Okay, you are on the motorway and someone jumped in front of you and you ran over him. You will not be considered a murderer or a killer. But of course, you are obliged to give the dia. I don't know, you have dia in this country. Well, the insurance today is right.
Blood money.
The blood money, yeah. They have? No. The dia, which is the blood money, which you give to the family. So, you have to give the blood money, which we call the dia. And also, you have to fast 2 consecutive months. On top of that, 2 consecutive months. Because you know the murder are 3 types of murder. Or killing. There are 3 types. What we call qatlul amd, intentional killing, that you kill someone on purpose, deliberately. Intentional killing. Second thing, it's semi-intentional, not intentional, okay? It is like the intentional, but it's not intentional. Like what? Like, 2, they were, you know, quarreling, and then one of them gave the other one a punch on his face, okay? Normally, does that kill? Tell me. Doesn't kill, but what happened? He fell down dead. Or he hit him by a stick. Normally the stick will not kill him, but he died. So this is not intentional killing, it's semi-intentional. Okay? The intention is not 100%. This is what we call qatl al-khata. And here there is no capital punishment. I'm talking now purely Islamic. Okay, I'm not talking about secular systems. Talking from the Sharia perspective, if a person killed someone and it was not intentional, okay, by a tool on something which normally doesn't kill, a stick normally doesn't kill, or hand slap him doesn't kill, but it happened that person died. So this is, we call it shibh al-amd. Okay, and in this case also he has to give the blood ransom or blood money and fast 2 months. And then the third, which is khata. Okay, I'm not talking about secular systems.
looking from the Sharia perspective, if a person killed someone and it was not intentional, by a tool on something which normally doesn't kill, a stick normally doesn't kill, or hand, slap him, doesn't kill, but it happened that that person died. So this is, we call it shibh al-amd. And in this case, also he has to give the blood ransom or blood money and fast to 2 months. And then the third, which is khata, which is just purely a mistake. So there are 3 types of the killing: intentional, semi-intentional, and unintentional, which is khata, just by mistake, as you are driving, someone came in front of you. So the khata, which is the error, that you didn't mean to do that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not hold you accountable for that. That's why, for instance, if you are fasting and you drank and ate to your fill, and then you remembered, what should you do? Break your fast or carry on? Carry on. Why do you carry on? You ate and you drank and mashallah, you are full. And then you remembered. This is an error. Mistake. There was no intention. Was there any intention to eat and drink? No, this is from Allah, gift. This is a gift from Allah. And sometimes really it comes and you are in need of it, you know. You're very, very thirsty. So you'll open the fridge and take the water and you'll drink, and you'll drink, and after that you remember. Now if I ask you, brothers, you saw a brother who is eating and drinking in Ramadan, should you keep quiet or remind him? Should you tell him, oh brother, this is Ramadan? Or you keep quiet because it's a gift from Allah? What is the problem with you? What do you think? But you know the hadith says, this is a gift. Gift from Allah. Actually, there are 2 opinions. One opinion says that you keep quiet. That's not your business. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving him this gift, and the man is in need to drink. So he's drinking, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that, and Allah will not question him. The second thing, opinion says, no, you should not keep quiet. You need to remind him. Because this is a mistake, this is an error, and he's not supposed to drink during Ramadan. This opinion is the opinion of many of the sub scholars, and among them Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, he says you have to remind him. Anyway, so the difference now between the error, mistake, that, you know, the scholars, they went to the extreme, the jurists, which really, frankly speaking, I can't comprehend and digest it. He even said, if a husband and wife during Ramadan, they made love, by mistake, also they are not responsible and they will not be accountable. This is something too much, isn't it? Because how you, if one is mistaken, the other one pretends to be mistaken, of course, not. It can't be. He is only pretending. Both of them, they are, mistaken, and you know what I mean. So, but anyhow, they said yes. If it happens, then also they will not be held accountable or responsible. And of course, as you know, sins are 2 types. sins are classified into two categories: major sins and minor sins. How many types?
Two types.
Major sins, what we call kaba'ir, and minor sins, which we call saga'ir. So there are two types. The major sins mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, he said, avoid the seven destroyers, with the killing and riba, etc., etc. So some of the scholars, they said that the major sins are only seven. But indeed they are not. As Ibn Abbas said, he said, indeed they are very closer to the 700.
The major sins.
So how can you know that this is a major sin or not? There is a criteria you should follow and apply. If there is anything that involves or necessitates Allah's curse, if there is a cursing involved, if Allah is saying, my curse upon the one who does this, then that is a major sin. Like what? Like women who are blocking their eyebrows. So blocking eyebrows is a major sin. Also those who wear, what they call it, wigs? Yeah, the wigs, yeah. That's also a major sin. Also tattooing, you know tattooing? I am really surprised to see people here, all their bodies are tattooed. Okay, it's a fashion. So also that is a major sin, as mentioned in the hadith. So if there is Allah's curse, anything that is will bring upon you Allah's curse, it is a major sin. Anything that has a prescribed punishment, what we call had, prescribed punishment. Like what? Like zina. It's a major sin. Like murder is a major sin. Drinking alcohol, because there is a prescribed and definite punishment, then it is a major sin. Are you following? So this also. Also, if there is a negation of iman, if Allah negates the iman of the person who commits such a sin, if there is a negation of iman, then this is a major sin. Like what? Like the Prophet ﷺ said, وَاللَّهِ لَا يُؤْمِنْ وَاللَّهِ لَا يُؤْمِنْ وَاللَّهِ لَا يُؤْمِنْ مَنْ لَمْ يَأْمَنْ جَارُهُ بَوَائِقَهُ, which means he is not a believer, the one whose neighbor is not safe from his tongue or his annoyance and disturbance, the one who bothers and annoys his neighbor, he's not a believer. So now disturbing the neighbors is what? Major sin. It's a major sin. Because the Prophet ﷺ, he negated the iman of such a person. So you can see that major sins, they are not known by number, but by characteristics. So you apply the criteria, and then you will find out that whether that sin is a major sin or a minor sin. Plus, you have to bear in mind the saying of the scholars. They said, لا كبيرة مع استغفار ولا صغيرة مع إصرار. No sin is major as long as you ask forgiveness. And no sin is minor if you insist doing it. You insist on doing that and persist, then that minor sin might become what? A major sin. So sins are classified into two categories, major sins and minor sins. Also, sins either against Allah, or against brotherhood, or against humanity. Whether this is against Allah Azza wa Jal, or it's against your powers, or it's against human beings in general.